right, heavy Bibles this morning. I want to look at something kind of been thinking about for the last few days, and I want to look at this morning. It's in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look there and just read a verse or two. We'll be going some more different places. Not be before you too long this morning. By the way, good happy Father's Day. About forgot that this morning. Thank God for good fathers and good mothers. I'm just the belief that's the backbone of our country. Amen. Sorry to say, we're living in a time that has to do kind of a little bit on the lesson today. You know, all of the social media and things of that nature, they're pushing one-parent families, and that's okay, and, you know, ain't nothing matter with that. And I understand we have situations where you have that, and there's nothing you can do about it, but it's not something we ought to promote. Amen. So, thank the Lord for good mommies and good daddies. We'll read just a verse or two here, and I think you'll agree with me on this when I get into it. In verse, I'm going to read two or three verses there in chapter 5, verse 1. It said, but of the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, I'm not going to talk about the time period here or who it's talking to or anything like that. And I know we got all kinds of different beliefs about that, and I think we all in agreement here this morning about what that's talking about. What I want to look at is the part of there where it says, when they shall say peace and safety. Just this week, talking to a man, to three or four different people about this subject of the time that we live in. And you would have to agree that we're living in perilous times. And here it says when they say peace and safety. I want to look at those two words, peace and safety. Today, like I said, I think everybody desires to have safety, brother, and whether it's as a nation, as a family, as an individual, we want safety. We want safety, and I thought about, you know, security, safety. Security goes along with that. But we're living in a time when you think about it, it's really a time of unrest, a time of uncertainty. And if you're like me, you think about that sometimes. I look at all the things that's going on today. First, in our country, we have a time of turmoil, time of, in our government, of corruption. And you all know what I'm talking about, things that's going on. Really, when it gets where the people that's supposed to be protecting the people gets to be corrupt, you're living in perilous times. I don't know how many people really realize what's going on today. And I don't say that with a stuck-out chest or anything like that. I say it with a broken heart that our country's come to where we're at today. But it's a time of just turmoil in our society. You know, we have this opium crisis. That's what they call it. I call it drugs. And if you're out in the public and you fool with the public, any, especially in the, and you talk to anybody you want to. I mean, I know a lot of people, and Fane, I know you're associated around that a lot, and especially in the building industry. I mean, I've tried to fool that a little bit. I'll be honest with you, I've just about got discouraged and quit because you can't get no help, especially in that line of work. They ain't on something. I mean, that's just, it's sad, but that's the way it is. And everybody's, you know how that is. I mean, they might be there one day and they might not be there the next day. And, of course, my brother-in-law, he's into that, and he's telling me about one of my friends that's in the excavating business. He called me the other day and asked me about a man. And, of course, I didn't know him. But he told me, somebody told me he was working for your brother-in-law and wanted to know if I could find out anything about it for him. And I told him I would, and I did. But anyway, I asked my brother-in-law about that. And he said, well, I had a man working for me by that name. He said he was here about 3 weeks, and he went back and looked in his books. And he said out of the 3 weeks, 4 weeks he's here, he worked 5 days. But anyway, he let him go, long story short. But anyway, that feller called me. He said, that feller stole, I think he stole my lawnmowers. And I told my brother-in-law that, and he said, what? And I told him, he said, well, he tried to sell me a lawnmower, Brother Lowell. I'm just saying all that to say this. That's where we're living at today. That's the mess we've got. That's the mess we're in. Talking about safety. And of course, you know, you've heard of that trickle down. It trickles down. It's not only there, but it affects everybody. You might say, you know, that don't affect me. But listen, it affects everybody. And we're living in a time of drugs, of corruption in the government, abortion. I won't be sure and put that in there because we've kind of dropped that ball here lately. Ain't been much said about that. Abortion, shootings, common, getting to be a common thing, you know, just every day. Somebody's shot, somebody's killed. And it's not necessarily shooting. They beat them to death with clubs and knives and cars, run over them with cars. Amen. I mean, you know, I'm talking about the time we're living in. Shootings. We're living in a time we can't secure our borders. That's a big thing now, you know. Illegal aliens, they call them. I won't say too much about that. In the family, divorce rate, children, rebellion against parents. I said divorce rate. Now they don't even get married anymore to have a divorce. Just live together. All these things has to do with safety. If you think about it, what it's saying here, he said, when they say peace and safety, and I think, and in my thinking anyway, maybe I think I'm probably right, but I mean, you might disagree, but you got to have things of this nature going on for people to really put an emphasis on peace and safety. What are we going to do? Can we solve the problems? As well as we'd like to see that happen, I'm going to tell you something. And I'd like to see it happen. But one man's not going to solve those problems. It just ain't going to happen. I just happened to stumble across something. I want to read this to you if I can find it. I kind of been thinking about this and got to looking at it this morning. I thought, well, I believe I'll just kind of talk about that a little bit this morning. But here's something I stumbled across while all that was going through my mind and reading and studying a little bit, meditating. Over in 2 Samuel chapter 2 Samuel chapter 18, this was after a battle had been won. In verse 27, it said, the watchman said, Methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of a high maze. Now this was after a battle had been won, and the messengers coming to the king to give him a message. And this messenger, they see him coming. And Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, and the king said, he is a good man, and cometh with good tidings. And Ahaziah called and said unto the king, all is well. All is well. Well, if you could summarize that, what he's saying, the battle's been won. All's well. The battle's been won. Let me come on up here now. Let me read three or four more verses. All is well, and he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord of thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hands against the Lord the king. And the king said, now y'all know this, I'm sure most of you do. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? That's King David's boy, which had rebelled against him. And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Shusai came, and Shusai said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that arose up against thee. All is well. The battle's been won. Enemy's been defeated. And seems so to be secure. Seem to be safety been restored, so to speak. And the king said in the Shushai, is the young man Absalom safe? Won't know about his boy. And Shushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, he as that young man is. In other words, Absalom's dead. That's what he's saying. And the king, which was moved, went up to the chamber out of the gate and wept. O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would to God I had died for thee, Absalom, my son. My son. The man brought good news. All is well. Battle's been won. Security has been restored. Safety's been restored. But we see here in this case, there was sorrow in safety. There was another word there mentioned in that verse that I read. Peace and safety. I kind of got to thinking on that too. You know, I said to start with, everybody desires, and I think everybody deserves, to feel safe. Don't you? In our homes, in our country, in our everyday life. But sometimes even when we have safety, I mean, we don't have any rockets headed toward us as far as I know right now, or anything like that. And we have, I think, at least a sense of safety. But sometimes there is a false security and a false safety. And even at the best, safety does not produce peace. You see, they said peace and safety. And you can have a sense of safety. I don't know where you understand where I'm coming from or not, but you can have a sense of safety, but it won't produce peace. They was looking for peace and safety. I thought about a place that just come to mind as I was thinking about this. I'm going to read to you. It's in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. What's this talking about? It's talking about unregenerate man. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they use deceit. Poisons of asp are under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Say, Brother John, that's pretty bad. Well, it is. That's the reason he wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he said, ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Here he said, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are of their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. Bible said one place in the scripture, I can't tell you exactly where it's at, it says there is no peace for the wicked. Or we could say unregenerated. The way of peace they have not known. But I'm glad this morning that we can know peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're here this morning, you've been saved by the grace of God, there can be unrest, there can be lack of security, there can be a lack of safety, but if you know Him, you can still have peace, which is the most important. I would say peace. I thought about some of them people, maybe just places they were like China. There ain't no safety for them. No security for them. But there's peace for them. I'm talking about the ones that's been saved, ones that's underground, that knows the Lord. Even in the worst situations that may come, if you're His, you can know peace. Ephesians 2 and 14 says, for He is our peace. I thought about this and I'll read this to you. One of my favorite places in the scripture. In Hebrews chapter, I think it's chapter 6. It says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge. That's a distinct group of people. Have you fled for refuge this morning? We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge. Every time I think about this, and I do a lot, this is one of my favorite scriptures because, you know, when I get down and out sometimes, and we all do, don't we? I mean, we all have time sometimes of not so sure of what's going on, you know. I wake up sometimes in the night and there's a sense of insecurity and sometimes even a sense of fear, maybe about things that's going on that you know what I mean, family things or whatever. And every time I read this, it says a strong consolation. And in our today, in our society today, when you look at that, it's like a consolation would be something that would be handed out for second place or something like that. Really, that's not what it means. It means there's a sense of comfort. A strong consolation or a strong comfort in knowing this. That we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. How was that made possible? That was made possible when Christ went to Calvary over 2,000 years ago, gave his life and shed his blood. And thank God we have a book to tell us all about that. And none of us here this morning are without any understanding of that. Might be somebody here that's lost this morning, but you've heard that. You know about that. It's available to us. I'm glad I laid hold on that one day. And ever since I laid hold on that, I have a strong consolation. I have a hope set before me. It says, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Thank God for that. I'm going to tell you something. We need that today in the time that we live in. In this terrible time that we live in, a time of unrest, a time of insecurity, and all those problems that we talked about to start with, safety, unrest, you know, all this stuff that's going on around us as God's people. I thought about the church when I was thinking about this. Brother Lowell, I thought about what it said about the church, not forsaking yourselves, the assembling of yourselves together. And so much more as you see that day approaching. It's important for us as God's people. Some people say, well, I can be a Christian, not go to church. Well, you might can. But I'll tell you one thing, you can be a lot better Christian going to church.
Amen.
And we miss it a lot of times on the house of God, the children of God. And the people that's been saved, the church of God. It's not a place of social, come together for social things. It's not a place of people that's not been born again. It's not for them. It's for the true believer. And we ought to find a solace and a consolation of coming together. And we ought to be able to do that. We ought to be able to come together and share one another's problems and burdens and have a sense of assurity that when we do that we can lean on somebody. And when they got a problem, they can lean on us. Now, I'm going to tell you something. And I'm not being critical, but it is the truth. We've missed it.
Yes. Amen.
I'm talking about the church today and what God designed it for and what it was the purpose of it. It was a place where believers could come together and rely on one another and love one another and support one another and bear one another's burdens and build each other up in the faith. And I know there's more to that, you know, preaching the gospel and all those things that goes along with it. We're doing okay on that part of it. That's not the part I'm talking about. I'm talking about the purpose of the church to the believer, the individual. It's important. That's the reason it says not forsaking the assembling yourselves together. It didn't say that just to have us to come to be seen and say that I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Don't even have anything to do with anything like that. I'm glad I fled for a refuge to lay which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Those are words that are foreign in the time that we live in. Sure, steadfast, a hope, not a maybe, I hope so. Now, I don't know about nobody in here but me, but I'll tell you one thing. I don't do everything right. I may not be what I ought to be, But my destiny is sealed. Amen. Amen, Brother Lowell. I don't have to worry about that. It's done been took care of. And I tell you, you know, yes, we're supposed to evangelize. Yes, we're supposed to want to see people saved. Yes, that's one of the works of the church. But we'll never do that effectively until we get to where I'm talking about here. I like this, 1 Timothy, I think it's 1 Timothy, 1 to 7. I just looked this up right quick before I left. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear.
Amen.
Them nights that I was telling you about, I wake up sometimes troubled. I've got a grandson that's, and that may not, I understand how they see us, you know. When it's personal to you, it's different than it is to somebody else. If it's one of your grandkids, it's more personal to you than it is me. Or it could be a son or a daughter or whatever. And that's the way it works. And I understand that. But I've got a grandson that me and my wife really love a lot. He's going through some things. And I wake up sometimes. Troubled. But I think about this verse. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That scripture and this other scripture I just read you, that's two mainstays in my Christian life. And if you get them down deep where they need to be, it'll be a stabilization in your Christian life. Let me read you something else. Something y'all are familiar with, but I just want to remind you of it. Here it is. Listen to this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Keep in mind, talking about security and safety and peace. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Everything's well with my soul. You know why? For thou art with me. Listen, if you've got him, you've got it all. If you ain't got him, you ain't got nothing. Now, we lose track of that. Listen, I do. We all do. I know we do. In the hustle and the bustles of life, and the things around us, whether it be family, friend, or foe, we lose sight of this. And that pleases the devil when that happens. Because when we do that, we're not much of a deterrent to him. We're not much help to anybody else. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me. I just thinking, went yesterday and boy, we had a good meal. Birthday party, good friend of ours. Man, we had some good food. Had a good meal. But you'll never sit down to a meal like this anywhere else. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Think about it. In all of the things that's going on we talked about, in the Lord, you can sit down to a good meal right in the presence of the enemy. Amen. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is our peace. Amen. You know, sometimes in life, and especially when you're younger, it seems like time just goes on, goes on, goes on. Then there comes another time in your life, Brother Rose. It seems like time's getting short. I guess to sum everything up, if he's yours, then you're his.
Amen.
And if he's ours, everything's well. Don't matter. What comes our way. And the things I've learned this down through the years, and I'm one of the dumbest fellers ever was, to be honest with you. But I've learned something. The things that used to be, Brother Lowell, the things that used to be so important to me are not too important now. And that's the way it is in life. So the things that really are important, it just makes sense that we ought to put a little more emphasis on them. Appreciate you listening to me this morning. I hope I've said something will stir our mind up a little bit and get us ready for Brother Rick to come on and preach to us.